Our reading today is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 1, commencing at verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramath Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord is shut of her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up a womb. And as he did, so year by year, when he went up to the house of the Lord, so Peninnah provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And Hannah was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to the house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, that Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Anna went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide for ever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one epher for flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And Hannah said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. Amen. The first three verses of chapter 1 introduces us to a man by the name of Elkanah, who had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children by Elkanah, but Hannah was barren and unable to bear children, for the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 3 informs us that Elkanah was a religious man who went up yearly from his city of Ramah to worship and offer sacrifices unto the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. At that time, the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant were situated at Shiloh, and Eli and his two sons, Ophni and Phinehas, served as priests before the Lord. Verse 2 introduces us to Hannah, the heroine of the story, and we learn that she was unable to have children because God had shut her womb. We are not told why God had done this, but we do know from Scripture that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. On the occasions that Elkanah went up to Shiloh, he would give portions to both his wives, but a double portion to Hannah, because he loved her. The Bible says she was barren because the Lord had closed the womb. To the Eastern mind, to be barren was a terrible stigma and looked upon as a sign of the Lord's disfavour. As Old Testament scholar Dr. Thomas Rogers points out, in many parts of the world, the woman would have been looked upon as a murderess, for it was believed that she had killed her husband's seed within her own body. Although we don't know why the Lord closed Hannah's womb, we know that, as Jesus pointed out in John chapter 11, verse 4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. God had a purpose in everything that he allows within our lives. Hannah was taunted by her adversary Peninnah because of her inability to have a child. This caused her to weep and not to eat. Hannah's vow finally, in verse 11, resulted in a form of prayer, which became a consecration of herself to God. Her constant prayers for a son caused her to be enabled to make a vow to raise Samuel in a manner which would set him apart for God. In verse 11 we read, And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She made a Nazarite vow for a son who was not yet conceived. What a wonderful demonstration of faith. She was in agony of soul as she prayed within the tabernacle at Shiloh, to such a degree that while speaking in her heart, her lips moved as she mouthed the words, although no sound came forth from her lips. Eli the high priest looked from the door of the tabernacle where he was seated. He assumed that she had been drinking, thus adding more grief to her already troubled soul. "How long wilt thou be drunken?" he scolded her. Verse 14. That gives us some insight into the lack of spiritual discernment of the high priest. He could not distinguish between a godly Israelite woman praying earnestly to God and a woman who was drunk. Hannah, despite this, replied with a simple explanation. Verse 15 and 16. "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Eli, realizing his error, made a priestly reply, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel again grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Hannah returned home, and we are told, conceived and bare a son and called his name Samuel, which means asked of God. The next occasion that Elkanah went up to Shiloh, Hannah stayed at home, explaining that, "I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever." Verse 22. After she had weaned young Samuel, we assume that he would be about 5 years of age, she went up to Shiloh, taking with her a three-year-old bull and an epeth of flour. She was a godly Israelite woman, about to fulfill the vow she had made earlier. History is full of unfulfilled promises. How often, when in trouble, do people cry unto the Lord for deliverance and make rash promises which they soon forget? Scripture makes it clear that unless you and I keep our vow, it is better not to make one. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 5. Hannah's vow was genuine. We can appreciate her sincerity even more when we examine just what was happening in the land at the time she was living. Chronologically, it is assumed that Samuel was born in the year 1100 BC and was 5 years old at his dedication. From Judges 13:1, which coincides with this 1095 BC, we realize that the Philistine oppression had begun. Therefore, Hannah was living in an unsafe environment, occupied by the enemy armies at the time she took Samuel to the temple at Shiloh. It would be equivalent to living in France during the Second World War, when it was occupied by Nazi Germany. Families stayed together, for there was always the fear that if they became separated, they might never see one another again. Hannah might have reasoned in her heart that the land had been at peace when she had made a vow, and that God would not expect her to leave her child, Samuel, in an enemy-occupied land. Then there was, of course, the fact that Eli, the high priest, was ungodly, and his sons were even worse. She would have certainly heard of the ungodly, immoral practices being performed within the tabernacle at Shiloh by Eli's son. But Hannah was not daunted by that fact. Instead, she had placed her son under the protection of the Lord God of hosts. She knew that regardless of the circumstances, that God would preserve her son Samuel. There are many wonderful lessons we can learn from this portion of God's infallible word. For instance, we are taught to be specific in our prayers, to know what we want of God. A visiting speaker to my church gave the following example of being specific. A woman in the attitude of prayer was asked, "What are you praying for?" To which she replied, "Just anything." Guess what she got? Being specific in prayer is important for the Christian. A missionary once complained to God that God had not answered his prayer. "I prayed for a desk and a chair and a bike, yet you have not answered my prayer." The Lord spoke to him through his word or conscience or spirit and said to him, "But you haven't told me what type of desk, chair, bike you want." So the man prayed, and he prayed that God would give him a desk with a leather top so that he might rest his writing pad on it and write letters of thank you to his sponsors. He asked for a chair that was able to swivel and move about on casters so that he could negotiate the various bookcases he had. He asked for a bike that was robust and would enable him to travel from village to village. A few days later, on his return from visiting a local village, he said on his porch there were three large parcels. He was eager to open them. The first, the largest of them, contained a desk with a leather top. The second contained a chair which was able to swivel and move on casters. The third was a bike, robust enough to take him from village to village. The second thing we learn from this wonderful story of Hannah and the dedication of Samuel, her son, is persistency in prayer. Don't give up. I heard a preacher, Pastor Appleby, recount the following story. Whilst pastoring in Wales, he said a woman in the congregation had been encouraged by a sermon on faith, and so she returned to her home, which backed onto a great slag heap. As she looked out from the top window of the cottage, she said to God, "Lord, I believe that by tomorrow morning that slag heap will have gone." The following morning, she couldn't wait to get out of bed. She finally jumped out of bed, put her slippers on, ran to the window, opened the curtains, and the slag heap was still there. She simply said, "I thought so." What was she praying? The Bible is full of examples of prayer. Some, like the story in Genesis 24, of the servant who had been sent to find a bride for the son, bowed his head and gave to God a certain number of criteria which must be met in order for him to know that the bride he chose was the right one, chosen for the son of the master. And before he had finished praying, God answered that prayer. Other times, as George Muller put it, we may have to pray for 20, 30 years. In my father's example, my father, having attended some 30 years before a Billy Graham meeting, we assumed that he would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet it was some 30 years approximately later, when he was nearly 100 years of age, 99 years, 6 months, 16 days old, when he asked Jesus to become his Lord and Saviour. The third thing we notice about this wonderful story is the fact that you and I can never, never outgive God. Hannah gave her only begotten son. She had no more children, no more prospects of children. She'd waited long enough to have this child. And yet she was prepared to fulfill her vow. She gave her son back to God. And yet in chapter 2, verse 21, we discover that the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So God gave to her 5 children in addition to Samuel. But I can imagine that Samuel was so precious. She had wanted a child in order to carry on the name of her husband Elkanah forever, generation after generation. In chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no vision in the land." So Samuel's name became great in Israel. The word of God prospered, flourished in Israel. You and I open our Bibles 3,000 years later, and we read this wonderful story of the birth of Samuel. So dear Hannah was prepared to make a vow unto God to give to him a child who was not yet born, and to make a Nazarite vow, which meant that he belonged to God. He would serve God. And yet God not only answered her in a wonderful name, so that the name of her husband Elkanah and herself would be remembered from generation to generation, but God gave to her 3 sons and 2 daughters in addition to Samuel. You and I, dear friend, when we make a vow to God, we must be prepared to keep it. And we must expect a miracle to happen when we do. May God bless his infallible word to our hearts, and the things I have said to each of us for his name's sake. God bless you on this Lord's Day. Amen.